You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married. Well, it's been a long, long day, and it's good to sit down with a cup of coffee again and have a chance to talk. And even though we've been in the same place all day, we haven't really been talking to each other much of the day.
I think we're going into our 14th hour. And I don't call this work. I call this having a great time with you and just talking about our day. And I see you're drinking some coffee, but I'm having something extra in my coffee.
You didn't tell me that you snuck something extra.
Well, our good friends Gary and Gina got me a special bottle of Reserve Cowboy Whiskey, and I put a couple of shots of that bad boy into my coffee, so I'm raring to go.
Well, good for you. I'll just have my black coffee as usual.
If I start leaning during the conversation, just prop
I'll
me
just
up
prop
with a pillow.
You up. Okay, you got it. Well, my goodness, there is so much news today, just so much news in this week that it's really kind of...
It's overwhelming, isn't it?
It's overwhelming. It's one of those things, you know, like the computer has too much going on at the same time, you know, and that's your mind. There's so many things happening. But one of the big news is, because there's so many, Justice Kennedy is going to be retiring off the Supreme Court.
You know, I didn't expect that, really. I thought that he was going to kind of stick it out for a couple of more years, at least until the presidential elections.
Well, you know, they've talked about it for, even before President Trump was president, they talked about this possibly happening. And, you know, so really, if you happen to be conservative, it's a good thing, and the timing is good, so that President Trump can bring somebody in that fits that constitutional mold that we like and that can, you know, take his place. Now, I think that there's going to be a huge fight because what I saw today was just chaos in everybody's mind about, oh my gosh, lots of bad words were on Twitter today about, you know, this happening, and what are we going to do? We're going to have a more conservative court, and people are panicking, immediately going to the Roe v. Wade, immediately going to, you know, the issues that they are fearful of. And I personally don't really think it needs to go there. I think that we need to take a step back and get just a good constitutional judge.
And you know what? You took the words right out of my mouth. A constitutionalist, not a person that tries to read too much into the law, which is what has been happening with the liberal members of the United States Supreme Court, in my humble estimation. So, but you're absolutely right. This is going to be a war between Republicans, conservatives, and the Democrats and the far left.
Yeah,
liberals and socialists.
I think so. I think it's going to be ugly. Now, President Trump still has his original list from 2016 that he brought out, that he swore that he was going to pick people from. And after Judge Gorsuch got elected, he then modified that list and he added five more names. So we still have that original list, and that is the list that he's going to.
And I think Judge Gorsuch is doing a wonderful job on the Supreme Court. I think he is really interpreting the law the way the United States Constitution was meant to be interpreted, including the Bill of Rights.
Well, I think you're right. And there's three people right now that they say are the front runners. But, you know, you never know with President Trump. So you just never know. And we all try to guess and so forth. But so often we're wrong because he kind of holds his cards close to his chest until he really makes an announcement. But those three are Judge Brett Kavanaugh of the U.S. Court of Appeals in D.C., Raymond Kethledge of the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, and Diane Sykes of the 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. So those are said to be the three front runners. We'll see what happens with that.
Well, I have to say that I really don't recognize those names in the Court of Appeals. And, of course, you know, I live in federal court with the different cases I have. So I think I'm just going to have to become an informed reader and find out more about these judges and their backgrounds and some of their rulings.
Yeah, and you know, we haven't had to do that because if nobody's retiring, then you kind of just leave it as it is. But now's the time to really start reading up and getting involved and see what happens. And by the way, the Supreme Court just in the last day or so, I actually think it was pretty quick here.
Yeah.
They made the ruling that unions' dues do not have to be paid by everybody anymore.
In other words, it's voluntary payment of dues,
right? It's going to be voluntary.
Well, don't you think that is a huge hammer on the unions? Because, I mean, they have become some of the most powerful political action committees that we have in the United States and really responsible for, you know, bringing in a number of our presidents of the United States.
Sure. And, I have never honestly liked unions. And that has to do with my growing up and my parents' family business and so forth. But I do understand that they certainly have had a wonderful place in our history. There was a time when they were needed. There was a time that they did really good things. Then they became pretty corrupt when you started having things back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, that era of time. And now I'm not so sure that we need them as much.
Well, you know, I think, first of all, I agree with you 100%. There is absolutely a definite time where we needed unions. However, the courts have done a pretty good job with regards to labor relations and things like that. And, you know, in my work in law enforcement, there are throughout the United States agencies or officers that belong to various unions. I never belonged to a union in California. We had Police Officers Association as our bargaining tools and our negotiators, and they always did a very good job. I never found any real need for a union. But I think that whether you're in a union or association, I absolutely agree with the United States Supreme Court. You should not, as a union, be able to force your union members to pay dues to support politicians that you may be completely against.
Yeah, I think that it's gone too far, and they shouldn't be make it like a political action group, right? It should have just been somebody to help the employees, and we've gone way past that. I think that they're past their time. I'm sure that there's a lot of people in unions that would disagree with me, but we'll see what happens now. This is a big change.
Well, I just would like to see the paradigm change with regards to how they negotiate, you know, contracts and things like that, because I absolutely agree with you that unions over the years, and especially during the years that you mentioned and actually going into the 80s, have been extremely corrupt and have been more than influenced by organized crime.
Well, there's also a lot of really interesting news of late. It just changes every day, so it's hard to keep up with the FBI and what's going on with Peter Strzok. And now we have two new lovers in the FBI that didn't like President Trump. So we're kind of all over the map.
And one was an agent and one was an attorney again. So this same
thing. And they got married, right?
This couple did get married.
Yes.
Yes.
So, And Comey has been showing his face here and there in interesting places and talking overseas. And, you know, all of a sudden he's pretty critical of our president overseas. But one of the things that he had come out and said was that he hoped that America would tire of President Trump by the time that the next presidential election came around and get rid of him. And, you know, some of the things that he's saying, which I think are really interesting, is that people should realize what they got into with President Trump. And I'd like to say I realize what we got into with President Trump, and I'm pretty happy with it. He is saying that President Trump does not represent American values, and he hopes that people will realize that. Well, I really beg to differ. And I think that America is more and more seeing that President Trump does represent American values.
Well, you know, I am absolutely with you. I'll just be quite honest. I'm not a Kool-Aid drinker, but I'm definitely a Trump fan. And as a matter of fact, I like the president better now than when we first voted for him. And I don't think I'm alone, Linda, because there was just a Gallup poll that was held this past week. And, you know, the Gallup survey is a little bit kind of liberal, sort of left-leaning. But it showed that President Trump has a 45% approval rating, which is matching his previous high when he was inaugurated in January of 17. And they tracked the comments of 1,500 national adults. So I think that's a pretty good deal. And as a matter of fact, just in the last week, the poll showed that his approval rating gained another 3 points.
The thing that kind of was interesting to me that Comey has said was that that we as Americans need to realize the threat to our values transcends politics. Well, you know, I need to just turn that right around on him.
There's a guy that shouldn't be talking
There's
about
a
values
guy that shouldn't be talking.
Whatsoever.
Yes, I mean, I'm of the how dare you even talk about that after what you did to manipulate an election for the American people? No.
Well, you know, as a law enforcement dog, I will tell you, this guy has become a bitter disappointment and an extreme embarrassment to the Federal Bureau of Investigations. And we're talking about a proud agency historically with many accomplishments, with over, you know, 15,000 special agents and support staff throughout the world, people risking their lives 24/7. And I'm telling you what, there's news out there now that veteran FBI agents are revolting over Comey, over this entire Clinton controversy. And they'd say, you know, the veteran agents, the guy that are really the ground pounders, the guy that have done the real work, not the administrative people up in the seventh floor. But we're talking about good, solid agents, a lot of field experience. They talk about the way that he ruined the Bureau and just a cowardly whitewash of what former Secretary Hillary Clinton did during her time in office. And they're just disgusted by the whole thing. Some of these agents with 25, 30 years of experience are saying that never in their time in the FBI had they ever seen such a controversial figure and an embarrassing figure as James Comey. So I got to go with the experienced FBI agents.
Well, and you remember, and we've talked about this before, that we were at the little cafe in town here in Texas and happened to be standing there and met up with an FBI agent that's retired now.
I remember.
Older gentleman.
Yeah, I remember.
Very, very nice. He had a lot to say about this, and he was absolutely disgusted with what was going on. He said this would never have happened in my day in the FBI. So the people that have been there and done that in the FBI, yes, they're not liking what they're seeing.
Well, you know, I want to quote one of the FBI senior chiefs, and he was in charge at one time. He's retired now, but he was in charge of the FBI's Computer Investigations Unit. And he said in the 25 years that he was with the Bureau, he never had any ground rules with any of his interviews. And do you remember all the ground rules that were put by those two agents, by the attorneys and agents that interviewed Hillary Clinton?
Right.
They let her destroy laptops. They let her destroy phones. There was no Miranda. There was no recorded interview. They had another percipient witness in the interview. All this stuff that you would never, ever see happen in a regular law enforcement agency interviewing someone who was a person of interest in regards to criminal activity. You would never see it.
Right. But on the other hand, look at what Mueller's doing in his investigation to everybody that is on the Trump side, is that they are all having to take an oath. They are having to testify,
under
penalty of perjury.
It's the exact opposite.
And that's not fair. Let's play fair in our government.
Well, there's not much fair going on in government. But let me tell you what I had heard is that two of the interviewers that did the Hillary Clinton interview, guess who they are? That's that attorney.
The other couple.
And that special agent who is the married couple.
Right.
And they haven't identified the agent, but they identified the female U.S. attorney. But she talked about the fact in their text messages that he was bragging that they got to do the Hillary Clinton interview. So, everybody was in cahoots with that one.
Well, and I think the entire country knows it at this point. Well, that we were talking about President Trump keeping his promises as said he would when he was elected. And one of the things that he is keeping his promise about is beefing up our military. So we have already seen some of those. And here's a new one that happened just now is they bought 473 more of the Bradley fighting vehicles.
And we got the dog fighting vehicle here.
I think she's hungry.
Well, we'll feed her in a couple of minutes. Well, listen, that's absolutely phenomenal, and that's quite a few Bradleys. And, just as a historical point, when I worked in San Jose, California, we were really close. Our police department was really close to where the Bradley fighting vehicles were made and where the proving track was, which was actually pretty close to the San Jose airport. And on our, breaks, when they were testing, we would go over there because it was just a couple of blocks away, and we'd grab our lunch and sit on top of our cars and watch the Bradley's parts of them come out, and then also watch them, run around the proving track, which was a total hoot. So,
even though the military has thousands of Bradley fighting vehicles, right? The difference now is that they're being upgraded.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so the upgrades are pretty exciting. And also, the reason that they're doing that is because by using them so much in Iraq, they've learned what they needed to do better.
Well, what they've done is they've increased the weight of the Bradley vehicle. And as I remember, the Bradleys were made out of hard-cased aluminum to give them a little light weight, but they put reactive armor on them. So you take something that's light, the reactive armor adds about 3,000 more pounds to it. But all the stuff they've added, like a third-generation FLIR, forward-looking infrared radar, new gunning sights, spot trackers, a better ability to dismount soldiers from the Bradley because it holds up to about 8 soldiers. And they've got a new laser weapons on it, and they've even practiced and successfully shot down drones. So we're talking about light years ahead in technology for the Bradley fighting vehicle. So I'm really happy that the president, freed up that money to do that.
Yeah, and I'm really excited to see that for our boys in the military.
Hey, listen, it's time for a little warm-up.
Okay.
This is Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. If you'd like to find out what forensic criminologists really do in the field, and you're tired of the false narratives about law enforcement and want to unpack the cases that I've worked throughout the nation, then please pick up a copy of my new book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, on sale right now at Amazon.com. That's The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police at Amazon.com.
The Out Loud Perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Hey, what a beautiful Texas sunset tonight. What do you think of that?
Oh, it's always great. Love it.
Well, I've got my coffee again, and so do you, and I think there's something that frosts our socks.
There is, definitely.
Well, let's talk about it.
Okay. Well, I think what frosts our socks right now, speaking for both of us, is the lack of civility in politics right now.
What is going on? Is everybody unhinged? Are they nuts? What is happening in our country?
It's really, really crazy. I'm not sure how this got as divisive. Well, I guess I am sure how it happened. And we talk about it all the time with the words that come out of people's mouths and the things that they make people think and those types of things.
But it's also the behavior.
It's the behavior, sure.
Absolutely. Borders on being violent. It is absolute harassment. There is no civility whatsoever. It's in-your-face physicality, and it's sheer intimidation. It is Nazi-esque.
Well, and they blame that on President Trump because during the election, they say that he's the one who started all this. And, you know, I mean, he certainly has a hand in some of the things that he has said have been pretty inflammatory. However, not anywhere near the levels of what has happened now and not ever calling for violence.
Well, listen, bombastic is not harassment.
No, I didn't say it was harassment. You're right.
All right. Bombastic is not kicking people out of restaurants for no reason whatsoever.
Absolutely.
It's not hanging out at their houses and preventing them from egressing, you know, in and out of their houses. It is not following people into movie theaters, right, and with their family and getting in their face. And I mean, we're talking within inches of your face where they're talking so crazy that spit from their mouths are literally hitting people in the face. There's no excuse for any of that,
Well,
Linda.
And it's even more than that. It's escalated to a level of threats on the president, threats on his family. You have Peter Fonda out there saying that the president's son should be kidnapped.
Well, the guy that used to be married to Roseanne, I can't remember.
Tom Arnold,
saying something, you know, similar.
Right. And that's inexcusable because there are unhinged people out there. And those unhinged people can take this to heart and think that this is their calling to take action. And that is so, so wrong. And anybody who says these things out loud and have something happen, they should be convicted as well, in my opinion.
You know, most of what I do, as you know, and most of our friends and listeners know, is I deal with death cases in forensic death investigations. And 80% of my caseload are ticking time bombs. People that went off and killed other people or forced the police to kill them or something like this. They are completely mental health unhinged. And there are so many of these ticking time bombs scattered throughout the United States. You never know when they're going to go off. And when you have someone like Maxine Waters with that rally that she recently held.
The rally of about 40 people.
Yeah, but it's a rally nonetheless.
Sure, that was on TV.
But yeah, 40 people at the rally in Southern California. However, tens of millions of people see it, and it's replayed and replayed and replayed. Well, people with serious mental health problems, they look at TV all the time. And when you get these people with these persecutory complexes and these paranoid schizophrenics and people like that, well, can I bring up two recent names for us? How about Gabby Giffords and how about
Steve Scalise? Right.
Both, you know, shot down. Thank God both of them survived, but barely. And by a couple of whack jobs, two different whack jobs. So you never know when these people are going to go off. But the things about kicking people, owners kicking people out of restaurants when people are not even saying anything or doing anything, they're just eating with their families. Sometimes someone's wearing a Make America Great Again hat or maybe a T-shirt that says the same thing, and all of a sudden they're 86th out of a bar.
Well, it's out of a bar. It's out of school. It's everywhere. And by the way, just as an aside, one of the bars who said that nobody could come in wearing a MAGA hat or shirt,
right.
They have in one day turned it back around and said everybody's welcome. There's a guy who did the wrong thing, but he got the memo about it, and he changed his mind.
Well, the memo was kind of forced on him because people stopped going to his pub.
Well, he got a lot of social media, you know, pushback. So yeah, he got the memo, but the lady at the Red Hen she didn't get the memo, and but still a lot of people. But this is extremely frustrating. It's very dangerous, and in my opinion, for the media to replay over and over and over the Maxine Waters thing was irresponsible, and they do it just to get the reaction that they're getting. Including with, you know, the whole thing, which they're starting with this immigration thing, and they're saying how, you know, Trump has changed the rules and Trump is, you know, abusing these children. Nothing on this is different than it's been done in the past for president after president after president. But yet they want to make it as though he created this problem. And the reason is they have nothing else to talk about.
Well, the thing that really bothers me, of course, there's many things that bother me about this, but these people are all supposed adults. And I'm talking about political leadership in this country. They're all the Schumers, the Maxine Waters, the people like that are all the Nancy Pelosi's. They're all adults. Now, on the other side, they could argue, well, President Trump is an adult, and he said a few things too, and I'm not taking away from that. Listen, I'm not trying to pick sides here. I just want it all to stop. None of it moves us forward. None of it is positive.
Well, nothing has moved us forward except for President Trump since he became president, because definitely Chuck Schumer has not let anything move forward under his watch. To the best of his ability, nor has Nancy Pelosi and anybody else that's in the Democratic Party that's in our legislature in Washington.
Well, you know what? Let me just run a hypothetical past you to see what your thought process is here. I think that the more successful President Trump becomes, and we're seeing these, he had two really good Supreme Court decisions, one on the on the immigration ban. With the six countries, yes. And now we had the union Supreme Court decision on the unions, and we also had the people that the Supreme Court backed that wouldn't make the special cake,
yes,
right, for the gay couple, whatever. Those were all constitutional decisions, but I think that the other side is going nuts about this, and I think the more success that President Trump and his cabinet has, the whole issue with we're trying to fix our relationship with North Korea, we're trying to de-escalate that, all the economy is booming, the stock market is booming, jobs are up, all of these very positive things, it causes some people to just go completely nuts. And when they go nuts, this is the end result of it.
Well, it is the end result of it. And speaking of a little bit nuts, President Trump said that Maxine Waters is the unhinged face of the Democrat Party. So, you know, he jumps into the fray himself and kind of adds a little bit of spark to that mix.
Oh, but, yeah, I think he stirs the pot.
Yeah, sure he does.
But only after they engage him.
Well, and they definitely engaged him, and there was several people that tried to get Maxine Waters to tone it down, and she just keeps doubling down and tripling down on what she says.
She's not going to walk it back.
No, she will not walk it back, and she says she won't, and, that's it. So, you know, there's a guy that's running against her, a GOP rival, which, you know, would be really interesting in her district, Omar Navarro. He's a 29-year-old Republican. And, you know, maybe he'll gain some traction, and maybe the people in her district are sick of this, and maybe they like it. I don't really know.
Well, I don't know how many years that Maxine Waters has been in Congress, but I think she's served at least, six terms, something like that. And out of the entire time, and she's gotten filthy rich over you know, her political leadership, being in Congress all those years, you know, she's only had two pieces of legislation passed in all the years. And all the tens of millions of dollars that have been spent on her, and one, a piece of legislation, all it ever did was name a post office. So that's your accomplishment over all these years? I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. You know, the members of the cabinet are so concerned, and from what we've seen, and rightly so, on television, that it concerns the President of the United States. And President Trump just recently urged his cabinet and staffers to start getting some training in self-defense and perhaps even carry concealed weapons. And as a person that is one of the things that, you know, I do, and you and I have our company at Street Safe Defense, we do is we teach responsible citizens how to protect themselves and also how to carry concealed and defend themselves with firearms. I'll tell you what, these people on the other side have got to watch out, because you can push people only too far, and once it gets into a scuffle, once it gets into the situation where someone has a legitimate fear for their safety and their life, I mean, they're legally justified in defending themselves. And I'm not necessarily saying with deadly force, but with pepper spray, with whatever they have to do that would be objectively reasonable to be able to defend themselves and members of their family. And I just don't want to see it come to this.
Well, I mean, and a perfect example is the very next day after Maxine Waters said that, and it played all over the news, a crowd formed outside the house of
McConnell and Chow.
Yes. And, you know, just harass them right there. Now, they would not have done that had Maxine Waters not been all over the news saying what she said. So you can see that the words do matter.
They do. And, you know, I watched the video several times because, of course, my interest is in self-defense. And a couple of those protesters were only within inches of Chow's face, and they were extremely aggressive. All the body language was terrible and intimidating and aggressive. And that has got to stop, or people eventually are going to get hurt.
Oh, exactly. And that's my fear. And you know that Sarah Sanders now has Secret Service watching her.
Well, I think all the cabinet members ought to be assigned Secret Service. And I'll tell you what, if I was on that Secret Service team, I wouldn't put up with any crap from any of those people. Your job is to protect that cabinet member, that staffer. That's your job. And they need to be creating safety zones around these people that are in high office to protect them from the ticking time bombs that are out there that are clearly out of control.
Well, and speaking of jobs, it is the job of those very politicians not to do what they're doing, but to do the business of the American people, what they were elected to do, and what we voted for them to do. That, in my opinion, is their job. It's not their job to obstruct every single thing that the president does. The fact that in the last couple of weeks, President Trump has asked over and over and over again for Congress to get in there and make a law about immigration to fix it so that we don't have all these problems, so that the entire country can move on, because that can has been kicked down the road for so many years and so many presidents, and nobody did anything. So he's asked for them to make a law because it's their job. That is their job. And what did they do? They passed on both proposals this week.
You know, Linda, I don't think that the left and Democrats in these leadership positions want to do anything about immigration and these kids and all these issues that have popped up, because they believe it doesn't serve them in their quest for additional power. It doesn't serve them. They would rather keep the pot stirred and all the way through the elections. I mean, both elections, not only the elections that are coming up in November, but the next presidential election. I think they want to just keep it at the extreme emotional level that it is, and even make that worse.
And that's why I hope we have a red wave instead of a blue wave, because we can't just keep staying at a stalemate in this country, regardless of who the president is. It's not about just obstructing everything. We need our country to be moving forward. And to his credit, President Trump has absolutely moved the economy of this country forward, has helped with the regulation issue, has helped with the tariff issue, has helped with so many things that he's done. He's taken a lot of the teeth out of the Obamacare. So he has really helped the American people. He's put money back in their pockets. He's put food on their tables. He's put given them jobs, self-esteem, raises, all of those things. Why we are in this hatred mode of him, I do not understand. I just want to move forward, and I want to stop the vitriol within our politicians and have them get to work on our behalf.
You know, I'm concerned about a couple of things. First of all, again, these are adults, and children watch what adults do, and children watch television, and they get ideas of behavior from not only listening to their parents and their friends, but watching things on television.
Sure.
And when you have high-placed politicians that are, you know, screaming hate and talking about harassing people and doing all those things, these young people believe that that's okay, and maybe that's what they should do. That's one thing I just wanted to say. But another thing, and I'm going to be a little predictive here, I'll tell you what, I don't see this blue wave coming. I see a red wave coming. I see a red wave coming just like when President Trump was elected. I see a lot more engagement with conservatives, with Republicans, and with moderates, and even moderate Democrats. I see people leaving the Democratic Party and coming on board, but not being vocal about it, kind of secretive about it, but actually voting the opposite ticket. That's what I see happening. And I'm really waiting to see what happens this November as sort of a precursor of what is going to happen in 2020, because the Democratic Party does not have a platform, they do not have candidates, and they never have any answers or solutions to anything that they're complaining about.
No, you're absolutely right. And it was interesting that, you know, when you say that the kids see this, you have David Hogue out there, right? And he's doing all these sit-ins or die-ins and so forth, and he's against guns. Well, guess who has armed bodyguards following him all around now?
Oh, I saw that story.
Yeah.
Well, that's just the hypocrisy of the left. You know, don't do as I do, do as I say. And I, you know, that's just the way it's going to be. Hey, listen, I want to go and switch it up and just go get some ice water. How about you? What can I bring you?
I'm perfectly good where I am. Thank you.
Okay. I'll be right back in a minute.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Well, you know, we've beaten politics to a pulp tonight. How about some good news?
I have lots of good news today. So,
I'm dying to hear.
Yeah, I love good news. Well, you remember a while back, you and I spoke about Becky Hammon, who is one of the coaches of the San Antonio Spurs.
Right. I do remember her.
And I think she is absolutely amazing. She used to be in the NBA. She had 8 seasons with the San Antonio Stars. And then she became a coach. And she's absolutely a phenomenal coach. And she's a little gal. So it's really interesting to see her with those great big tall basketball players. Well, at the time that you and I were speaking about her, I was all for her moving up the ladder of coaches in San Antonio because she's very highly respected by the players. And sure enough, she just got promoted. So now she is the third highest coach for the San Antonio Spurs.
Well, that's a big deal. And I'll tell you what, San Antonio people and people up around where we live love the Spurs.
Yeah, they more than love the Spurs. It is definitely, you know what, they really, really...
Hard to get a seat in that stadium.
They really support them. And the thing is that the Spurs really support San Antonio as well.
You know, that's true. You know, there's a restaurant that you and I love to go to. I think once or twice a year, the San Antonio Spurs, because they live like right down the road mm-hmm. from it in Dominion, and they come in. And they act as the servers, and people pay to be served by members of the San Antonio Spurs.
Right, and they do it all for charity. So that's a good news story. And, you know, here's another good news story. You recall that Bill and Melinda Gates have a foundation, and one of the things that they really promote is doing scholarships for students. So there's a farm worker's daughter who just landed a $350,000 scholarship to Stanford. So her name is, she's actually the school valedictorian. Her name is Angela Gomez. She's just 17 years old, and she got that scholarship from the Gates Foundation. And I think that that's really neat. She comes from a very humble background and has worked very, very hard.
And, of course, Stanford University is one of the most prestigious universities in all of the United States.
Right. And this particular grant, by the way, covers everything through graduation, including tuition, room and board, travel to and from campus. And so, I mean, she really did well. So congratulations
to her. Well, I know the tuition to Stanford University is at least about $70,000 a year. So that is a wonderful scholarship. By the Gateses, and a wonderful opportunity to this young lady. Hey, I've got a nice good news story. So this is a boy. He's actually a Texas teenager, so, you know, I'm going to bring up Texas. but he's battling a neurological disorder. And what happened, and his name is Tyler Newland, and he lives in Mansfield, Texas, and he's just fascinated with Batman.
So
to beat the Texas heat and to do something really cool for this kid, the Make-A-Wish Foundation got a bunch of volunteers together, and they actually built him his own air-conditioned bat cave in his backyard.
Oh, wow.
And I just saw pictures of it, and it's just amazing. It's got Nerf guns. It's got a television, big flat screen television. But here's the cool thing. It's got a bat signal that lights up at night.
Oh, what does it light up on?
Well, you light it up on clouds, right?
Oh, very
cool. So it's like a laser projection, and it goes up in the air. And it lights up in clouds, just like the real Batman. And when they introduced him by surprise to the Batcave, they had a Batman come and do the whole thing for the donation. So what a wonderful thing for Make-A-Wish Foundation to do for a young Texas teenager.
That is really a great thing to do. Well, I have a little animal story.
I love animal stories.
So in Newfoundland, a fishing crew was out, and it's very icy in the water, so there's lots of little icebergs floating around there. And they went out to fish, and they were just planning on, you know, getting crabs and things. And when they saw this little dark spot on one of the icebergs floating out in the ocean, and it was a little fox.
And a fox?
A little fox had the iceberg that he had been on, or the patch
oh,
of ice.
Oh, sure.
Broke off.
Sure. Broke off the mainland of ice.
Stuck on there, and he was starving, and he had no way to get off, and it didn't seem like, you know, sometimes those icebergs go back kind of and hook up again with bigger ice, but this was not going to happen the way the wind was blowing and the seas were going. So they tried to rescue it, but it didn't want to be rescued. It was too skittish. So what they actually did is they crashed their boat into that little iceberg and kind of broke it apart, and the little fox fell in the water, and they fished it out with a net.
I was just going to say, did they net him and bring him in?
Yeah, and okay. he wasn't in very good shape, and they tried to feed him, and he wouldn't eat anything that they had. I think what the fox was saying is, I'm really sick of fish at this point.
That's all I've
eaten. So they stopped, brought the boat into port, and they got some little Vienna sausages. And that fox just really enjoyed those and started getting his energy back. And
who doesn't like a good Vienna sausage?
He's doing really well. So, you know, I'm glad that those guys were able to save that little fox. Well, there's a trip that we could take, because I know that I want to head up to Oregon. And on our way there, they have the redwood trees are on the way, right?
Oh, absolutely, so, yeah. They are. Yeah,
so
they're in Sonoma County.
Love to see those. Well, there is a brand new 730-acre patch of giant redwood trees that has been private for over a century that people really couldn't go to because it was private. And now it's going to be turned into a national park. It's going to be called the Harold Richardson Redwood Reserve, because Harold Richardson was the man who was watching over this property for the last number of years. And at 96 years old, he passed away, and he bequeathed it to the national park so everybody could enjoy it. So there's over 450 ancient redwood trees on the reserve, and they're as high as a 32-story building.
Oh, they're gigantic around. You know, I lived in Northern California for the first part of my life, and so I've been up to the redwood forest. And actually, I said Sonoma County, but my God, they go all the way up Northern California on the coastline. And, you know, you've seen pictures where some of them are so big that they've cut a tunnel through them, and you
right.
can actually
drive through.
But they're thousands of years old,
right? And the thing is, these trees are over 1,000 years old, which is amazing, and they're taller than the Statue of Liberty. So I mean, if you can just picture that, and now you have 1,450 more of them to see. So I'm excited to make a stop there sometime soon and see these trees.
You know, I really want to take you to the redwoods, and I'll give you like a little visceral experience. With me, what I like when I'm there is I like the filtered sunlight, and I love the smell. Okay, because there's like compost from, you know, hundreds of years of, you know, the needles and everything falling on the ground and mixing with, you know, rainwater and everything. And it just smells so good. You could just spend, I mean, all day just doing nothing but walking around and looking at the trees and just sniffing the air.
Okay, well, I can't wait to go.
Well, I'm the guy that's going to take you.
So I have a kind of a hero story that I think is interesting, but what's interesting too is that I don't really know anybody's name in it, because people didn't say who they were when they saved other people. But there was an officer in San Mateo who he was driving in his car, and he actually fell asleep, and he crashed and he rolled his car, and he was very, very seriously injured. He was stuck inside the car and had no way out of it, and some good Samaritan did stop, and the man did not know how to save the officer. The officer was bleeding profusely from a severed artery in his arm.
Oh, that's not good.
No, he would have died. The officer had just had training, so I know that we're really big on officer training in this family, and so he had just had training on teaching how to tie a tourniquet, which is something, too, that we do at our response
to active
shooter
classes. Well, sure, and our firefighter paramedic son, Rudy, is a great teacher and teaches wound triage and especially tourniquets. So how interesting.
Right. So the officer, as he's trapped in his car and could not get out, he walked the man through, the unknown savior, through how to tie that tourniquet around his arm, which saved his life.
That is an amazing story.
It is. And he still has a lot of injuries to deal with. They had to get the jaws of life and get him out. But they did, and he survived, and his family is extremely happy. And he's extremely happy for that unknown man who came along and tied the tourniquet the way that he told him, saved his life.
Well, that's fantastic. You know, Lynn, I've got a hero story myself.
Okay.
And this is about a man by the name, and I've got the man's name, okay? So his name is Patrick Baum. And this is out of Hammond, Indiana. And so he was recently honored for his heroism after he helped subdue a man that was trying to kidnap a 15-year-old girl. And this happened just this month. And a man in a car saw a girl walking down the street and tried to snatch her up. Well, she fought. She got away from the man, but only after a sort of a knockdown drag out. Anyway, a description was put out. And a police officer spotted the man and the vehicle, pulled him over, and tried to detain him. And another fight broke out between the officer and this attempted, you know, kidnapper, mm-hmm. child molester. And so guess who's driving down the street but Patrick Baum? And he jumps out of his car and helps the officer to subdue this man, who was identified as a 27-year-old Illinois resident by the name of Randall Palmer Hall. And I think there was something wrong with Mr. Hall because he was described as frothing from the mouth and probably being under the influence of drugs.
Oh, dear.
So, you know, obviously don't take drugs, but don't pick on little kids. But thanks to Mr. Baum, he helped this officer make an extremely difficult arrest with a violent suspect.
And what a brave young lady to fight for her life, which is exactly what she should have done. You don't go willingly with these people.
Never surrender.
Nope.
Absolutely never surrender. Well, I see that you've got something really cool to talk about, and I want you to start off and give us some of the locations where some of the best fireworks displays in the United States are going to go off.
Well, and you are the big fireworks guy in the family.
I love it. I'm still
a
kid. I know.
You really like the fireworks. Well, so the top 10 places to go see fireworks.
Okay, now are you going to start from number 10 or are you going to start from number 1?
I'm just going through them.
Okay, go ahead.
So the top 10, these are some of the best places that offer great fireworks. So in Minneapolis, Minnesota, they have a Red, White, and Boom Festival that boasts the state's largest fireworks display over the Mississippi River. So that is number one, not in any particular order, by the way.
Okay.
Okay. Somewhere kind of close to old home, Lake Tahoe, California.
Oh, no, I have been to Lake Tahoe, California for the 4th of July,
okay.
And the reason I went to visit it, because it has such a great reputation of putting on a phenomenal fireworks display over the lake.
Yes. Yeah. And was it phenomenal?
It was phenomenal, because if you get the, you know, it's all about good weather. And if you get the good weather, you get the fireworks blowing up in the air, but you get the beautiful reflection on the lake. So you got to have a nice,
yeah,
relatively still lake, not a choppy lake. Now, you know, Lake Tahoe is 75 miles, around, and it gets windy from time to time, especially in the afternoon. But if you can get a nice, quiet night, that's a beautiful place to watch the fireworks.
Well, you know, we used to go to Lake Arrowhead, which is just a little lake.
Oh, we had so much fun.
Southern California, but they put on a really nice show, and it's a very small lake, so it was kind of up close and personal.
And they put the barge out in the middle of the lake.
Yeah, that was fun.
And blow them up from the barge in the middle of the lake.
Yep. Well, here's another place I really love, one of my very favorite places, Nashville.
Oh, my God.
Nashville, Tennessee.
And we're going to be going to Nashville again in October.
Okay. I'm excited. Can't wait. Yep. Love Nashville. The Grand Ole Opry. So if you're in Nashville, you get a great fireworks show. And here's one that you could expect would be on the list, right? New Orleans.
Oh, New Orleans would be a beautiful fireworks display there. That's a town that knows how to party.
Yep. They do it right on the riverfront in the French Quarter. So that should be a huge party there, I'm sure. Well, and a place that we've been to for the 4th of July, Las Vegas.
Well, Las Vegas is another place where people know how to party and they know how to celebrate and they know to put on great entertainment.
Right. And, yep, great entertainment there. New York City, that has to be one of the most phenomenal over near the Statue of Liberty.
And, you know,
on the barges.
On the barges, yeah. And also hanging from the bridges.
Oh, okay. Yep, that would be really, really good. And then you have the St. Louis, Missouri. So that's another place near the Gateway Arch Park.
Oh, that's neat. You know, I've actually stayed there. I've had a couple of cases in Missouri, in St. Louis area, and with federal court, and I've stayed in hotels which are right by the ballpark there, which is not too far from the arch. So that would be a beautiful view to see something like that.
Yeah, and here's another one, Washington, D.C. And, you know, in Washington, D.C., there's so many of the buildings there that you can go up on the rooftops. They have bars on all the rooftops there. So that is the great viewing place over the river there. And that just, you notice all these great shows are over the river.
Well, do you remember we were at the Watergate Hotel when they had the eclipse this past year? Do you remember?
Yes, of course.
And it was absolutely a breathtaking view over the river there.
Okay, another over-the-water place, Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh, you know what? I love Boston because it's a town that you can walk around on. And, of course, the seafood there and the lobster is
Ooh,
just...
Oh, the clam chowder there is amazing.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And plus all the history, Faneuil Hall and everything like that. And of course, the United States Constitution, meaning the ship, the Constitution, is there.
And last but not least is Myrtle Beach. And last but not least, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, where I have never been.
I've been there one time, and I will tell you, I'm a foodie. I don't remember the name of the place, but one of the best seafood buffets I've ever had in my life was at Myrtle Beach.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm looking forward to, which is not on this list because it's not in the U.S., where we are going to be for 4th of July.
And Puerto Vallarta. And we know they put on one heck of a fireworks party, even though it's not Cinco de Mayo. It's 4th of July.
Well, I'm sure that they'll do something. And the thing that's interesting about there is that they have fireworks that I've never seen anywhere else. So maybe they have different laws or something, but they have some really interesting things. In fact, one came right into our condominium over there.
That one that was like a helicopter.
Yeah,
remember
it looked like
that?
A little mini drone firework or something. It was really interesting.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to going to Puerto Vallarta and just filling up on all the fantastic food and just being on our balcony and looking out over the ocean, or actually the Bay of Banderas, and having a wonderful time. Now, listen, I want to bring up a small place that maybe not a lot of people have heard. I got the Desi over here just shaking her chain here. But it's Pismo Beach, California.
Okay.
On the central coast near San Luis Obispo. And what's really cool about Pismo Beach is they shoot the fireworks up at the end of a very long pier. That pier goes out almost a little past a quarter of a mile. But if... And again, it's about the weather. You know, the problem with the Central Coast is they get overcast a lot of times in the afternoon. And if you shoot up the fireworks, it goes through the clouds and you never see anything.
Yeah.
But if you can catch Pismo Beach on a clear night on 4th of July, you will not be disappointed.
You know, I was surprised that Chicago was not on this list because it's got the big, beautiful lake right there.
And it's got the river.
Yeah.
And the beautiful buildings that people could climb up on and really see beautiful fireworks.
Well, I think that they're going to be in so many places, and it doesn't matter where you go. I think last year we did it in our backyard here in Texas, and our son lit off some things, and the dogs were scared to death. So I think that, you know, this year we're going to do something different.
Well, you know what was ironic about it? He's the fireman's son we have, and I'm worried about him setting a fire.
No, he did everything very safely, but it was just really interesting.
Well, being the police officer, not knowing a lot about firemen, right? I'm going, what are you doing?
It was great. I think the Desi dog is ready for bed, Ron.
Well, when she starts howling and barking, then it's time.
There you go.
All right, Desi. So let's just call it a night, and we'll all kick it in. Okay? That a girl.